Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Today's Monday. We have James Salinas hosting out there in Denver, Colorado. James, how are you?
Pritch, my man, I'm doing great. Good to see you as always. Happy Monday. Let's get to it.
Yeah, let's get to it. I'm happy about the results I had this weekend. So off to a good start right there. But let's start with the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, because I think when you look at the National Football League, we're looking at teams kind of jockey for position. People are starting to say that the Chiefs are the best team in the National Football League, which they probably are. But what about Tampa Bay too, though? Tampa Bay faltering a little bit, but they was against the Chiefs. And so what do we make of that situation? The Chiefs closed -3, this total 56.5 game, James. This game pretty exciting towards the end.
Well, and I think that's, if you were sports betting, absolutely it got exciting towards the end. A lot of folks had Tampa plus the hook at 3.5. And I think after that first quarter, I think if you had Tampa in pocket with a ticket, you weren't feeling too good about what where that game was going, because ultimately the Chiefs put their stamp on that game. And are they the best team in football? I mean, we've still got a long way to go with the season to get through the playoffs to establish that. But I think right now, number one, they're the best prepared team week in and week out from a coach perspective. They've got the best offense. They're the most dynamic and most versatile team in the NFL. And then they have the best player when we're talking about Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the things that he does week in, week out, I think that's where, you know, we can talk about the throws and the arm angles, and he looks like he's playing second base and turning double plays, throwing the ball sideways, and tremendous touch. But I think for him, what's most impressive as a young player is that every week he looks better from a poise standpoint, where it seems like for the game's going 100 miles an hour, and some players it looked like it's going 1,000 miles an hour. I think for Patrick Mahomes, it looked like it's going 2 miles an hour. He sees everything. He recognizes everything that's going out there in the field. He knows every mismatch that's out there. So much of that comes through preparation, and then the fact that he is able to make the plays that he makes from a physical standpoint. I mean, is that a team? Is that a player right now that you want to get in front of and bet against right now?
No, he's incredible. To be honest with you, and he's paired up with a coach that's on a great run right now. You mentioned Andy Reid has been his team prepared. Andy Reid has been the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, 8 years now? 7 of those 8 years, he's had 10 win seasons. So not only prepared, but certainly playing at a high level week in and week out.
Well, and it's the team that's obviously the most confident as well. And I think that shows through their preparation. There's never anything that happens out there that they're not prepared for and or that they can't adjust to in real time. And I think that's where I want to pick your brain about a number of these games that we'll be able to get to today. So I'm excited about for this program today with you, Pritch, because I think the flip side, the other side is if you watch that game, we've been seeing this with Tampa, and we suspected this before the season started. Anytime that you're going to have such a transition of personnel, and in this case, for sure, with the offense from the quarterback standpoint, for one, and then trying to fit into the scheme, is it now the scheme or is it the player? Are they meshing? I mean, I'm hearing different things where, yeah, we know what Arians wants to do. It's you know, it's like you're in the dirt when you were back in grade school at the park and everybody's drawing up plays on their hand. I'm going to go deep and throw me the bomb. And that's kind of what their offenses look like. But now hearing things about Brady saying that he's choosing the plays out of the playbook that he wants to run. And so he has full influence over what it's going to look like from an offensive standpoint. I think the hard part for Tampa is they're finally going to get to their bye week now. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has had their bye week outside of Carolina. They're finally going to get to their bye week because there's only so much time with preparation that you have from week to week to work on things outside of the game plan. And I think that's what we're seeing right now, especially the struggles that Tampa had. So Pritch, you tell me this, as a former offensive player, when you're looking at keys and you're trying to get reads, how much of it comes down to scheme? How much of it comes down to players knowing each other, being prepared for those different scenarios? We hear a lot about motion before the snap and right, and what they can key on. What is it where's the disconnect right now between Brady and that offense in Tampa?
Well, the disconnect is that is disjointed. I mean, I think out of sequence at times, but certainly no identity as well. I mean, do you want to run a ball or do you not want to run the football, right? Do you have a lot of players, or do you feel like you have to feature one guy? I mean, I think there's a combination of all of that happening right now. I mean, you got Antonio Brown, you got Mike Evans, you got Godwin, you got Gronk, you have Leonard Fournette, you have Rojo, Ronald Jones. I mean, all these guys want to touch the football, but they can't. And so how do you divvy that up? How do you make everybody happy, make sure that everybody's have confidence and certainly playing at a high level? So I think Tom Brady has a lot on his shoulders to handle that. I think Bruce Arians has a lot on his shoulders to handle that as well. I mean, it's like they have too much offense, or they have too many weapons. They don't know what to do with all these guys, right? So it's disjointed there. I think from a philosophy standpoint, they just seem like they're not all on the same page, whether you want to throw vertically down the field, which they can, but yet do you want to be a precision passing team too, which Tom Brady is more accustomed to? So I think they got to work that out. Maybe that self-evaluation you're talking about, the bye week, this is a great opportunity to be able to take a step back, look at everything, evaluate everything, and then right the ship, certainly as you head down the stretch and as you march towards the playoffs as well. So they're not too far off, James. I think they can fix it. They just need to all get on the same page, though.
Well, and that's where they didn't have that opportunity before the season started. No preseason games. Just very, very taxing for teams like that that were in transition from a personnel and or coaching standpoint. And I think that's where we've seen Kansas City. It's basically the same team intact from the Super Bowl rolling into 2020. They only get bigger and better as the games go on. And they're fun to watch. It's been a while since we've seen a talent, number one, like Mahomes, but also just the cerebral aspect of the game. Watching them adjust, looking at all the different formations, how they learn, how they all are on the same page working together. I mean, they're only going to get better and better. And ultimately, as the game covered for Tampa, that's where Kansas City kind of took their foot off the gas. And those are the kind of things that I think they'll learn as the season progresses. Like, look, when we've got a big lead, they were up 17-0 after the first quarter and really making it look easy. That's where we got to finish. Don't take the foot off the, don't take the foot off the, don't put the foot on the brake. Let's put the keep the foot on the gas, keep that throttle open, and let's bury these teams. And so I think they're going to learn from that going forward.
They will. And, doing just enough to win, even though they dominated the football game in the first half. This is what's very interesting about the Chiefs, though. And this is like going into the locker room. Like, when you line up or you're in the locker room with John Elway or Warren Moon, I mean, you know you have a chance to win every game. And there's no way that team's going to beat you. The Chiefs, up and down the board, offensively, defensively, they feel invincible because of who's playing quarterback. And so now, as a teammate, as a player, when you feel like we're invincible, nobody's going to touch us, nobody's going to beat us because of who we have at quarterback, I mean, who's going to beat this team? Really, I mean, I think the Chiefs are going to beat themselves before somebody else beats them because they're playing so well right now, James.
Well, and of all the teams to beat themselves, that's not going to be the team to do it. I just, because they're so prepared and they're playing with such confidence right now, ultimately it's going to come down to injuries. And they've been relatively healthy. I know they've had some issues on the offensive line the past month or so. But, outside of that, they've been very healthy. So they've been able to avoid that injury bug that so many teams have not so far this season. And again, number of games still to be played and through January. So that it's week to week in this league when it comes to injuries. But from that perspective, too, I think with Mahomes, he also knows how to get himself out of predicaments where he could take the hit. He will throw the ball away when necessary, and or he's able to feel that pressure. He has such great awareness in the pocket that he can move himself around. He's not trying to run and make big plays with his feet down the field, but he knows how to feel. When he feels pressure, he knows how to avoid that pressure, how to step up in the pocket, how to move around within the pocket and be able to extend plays. There's nobody better right now. And I don't know if we've seen anybody quite like Mahomes in the NFL.
I agree with you. I don't think we have. I've been looking. I've been searching. I've been trying to jog the memory a little bit and then certainly looking at some tape way back when. And I can't find a player like this. Patrick Mahomes in 42 starts is 34-8. 34-8 in 42 starts in the National Football League for his career. At MVP odds, you look at him, he's minus 250 now to win it. I mean, anybody else worth taking a shot with?
I mean, we've been talking about Roethlisberger, right, for the last few weeks. If they went undefeated, what would that look like for a quarterback leading his team to an undefeated season? It would be hard to say no, you have to go against that. Because he's a big – Roethlisberger's been such a huge part of that offensive resurgence for them, coming back from his injury last year and the way that they're throwing the football and sitting at 10-0. But now that's in question, too, based on – I don't know, who knows if they're going to play tomorrow. Is that season going to – are they going to play a full 16 games? Is there going to be an asterisk with that? It's still a lot more questions there. But as far as these other players go, I mean, MVP, is it the best player? Is it the most valuable player? I think with some of these teams, we can look at Russell Wilson is probably by far the most valuable player to that team. But I think for Mahomes' sake, he is not only the best player, he's the most valuable player in this league.
Yeah, I agree with you again, 100% right there, James. Packers defeat the Bears 41-25. This one closed Green Bay -8. That total 44.5. I was on the wrong side of this one. I was starting to believe in the Bears a little bit. I thought that was a pretty big number there for the Bears and that defense, but apparently I was wrong, along with a lot of other people, as Green Bay took care of business. Wasn't even close as Trubisky tried to get the job done for Chicago.
Well, and I think not having Akeem Hicks in the middle of that defensive line, he's such a big run stopper. We saw him a couple weeks ago when they played Minnesota on Monday night. The difference between when he was in there and that defense and when he got hurt later as the game progressed, they pulled him out, he got injured, and it was a completely different Minnesota offense pounding the football with Dalvin Cook. So big piece lost there. And I know some of the trench folks don't get a whole lot of notoriety. So-and-so's hurt. Doesn't adjust the numbers, doesn't adjust the point spreads, but to the game plan, it definitely adjusts what teams can do. And I think we saw that at Green Bay, was able to get Aaron Jones running the football early, as well as Jamal Williams getting up there and running between the tackles, running hard and really kind of uncontested. And then from the Bears' standpoint, Once they fell behind, I think we saw, especially on that defensive side, mm-hmm. kind of just they'll never acknowledge it, but the lack of tackling kind of just tells me about effort. And then once you're tired of having to constantly carry a team based on your unit because of the ineptitude on the other side of the football for the Bears offensively, you know, that gets a little demoralizing. And I think we saw that as the end of that third quarter, where the Bears, especially on the defensive side, kind of just threw the towel in.
Yeah, James, it really is bad offensively. I mean, I haven't seen a team just falter like this in a long, long time, losing 5 in a row here, even after a bye, which is incredible. But a lot of it is on the blame of the offensive side of the ball. Can't get right over there. Quarterback situation is horrible. Running game has spurts, but no consistency at all on the offense side of the ball. So you mentioned demoralizing defensively. As I was watching the game and watching Aaron Rodgers too, Green Bay offense, I'm thinking to myself, why did I not listen a little bit strongly or more when you said that the linebackers for the Bears are a liability in the passing game? And you're right about that. I mean, yeah, the Bears, they have a nice defensive front. They can get after the passer, stuff to run with Hicks. But those linebackers are a big liability out there in terms of trying to cover people.
Yeah, we've seen it from Trevathan all season long, and he's been a good cover. He's been a very physical linebacker, but he's been decent in coverage. Something about this season, that whether he's been nagging injury, who knows, but he has been really, like you said, a liability in coverage. And then Roquan Smith, for as much fanfare as he had coming out of the draft and coming in there to be that tough-minded middle linebacker, he misses a lot of tackles, yeah, too. So that's just been a big issue for them. And then couple that with the loss of Hicks yesterday, not being available in the middle of that run defense, that just got the motor started for Green Bay. And Green Bay is one of those teams, I think, from the coaching standpoint, when things are going well, they don't have to adjust their script. Their game plan is going according to form. It's really, for me, the key with Green Bay, because we saw that a week ago playing Indianapolis. Played very well in the first half. Indy made their adjustments at halftime. Green Bay was not able to adjust, and the game got away from them. So it's going forward with Green Bay, really, it's kind of a matchup of, if they get the running game going, LaFleur is able to stick to his script offensively, but once that gets taken away, if it does get taken away, that's where we've seen some struggles out of Green Bay.
Right. So they are flawed, but playing better. I mean, I think you go back to the playoffs last year, up and down the field. You look at San Francisco and what they were able to do against that defense. And now the defense looks like they're rounding into shape, I think, and towards the playoffs for Green Bay. certainly Aaron Rodgers as an MVP type of player. He's got a great year going right now. It matches what Mahomes is doing, really. But then to complement that, like you mentioned, James, if they can rush the football, which it looks like they can. Offensively, they look like they're getting the job done. Offensive line, they got to get healthier as well. But what do you make of their chances to come out of the NFC?
Well, I think they have to commit to running game. I think that's where they sometimes, if the script doesn't go according to plan early, they scrap the script and put it all on Aaron Rodgers' hands. I don't know if that's so much LaFleur or if that's Aaron Rodgers saying, just give me the ball and I'll make the plays. But looking at their schedule going forward for the last really roughly quarter of the season, the next five games, it's not a very difficult schedule for Green Bay. The only team that they have to face is that's over 500 is going to be Tennessee in the latter part of the season, and they get that game at home. So pretty favorable schedule for Green Bay going forward. They are one game behind the Saints, jockeying for that number one seed in the playoffs. So a lot to play for Green Bay for these final five games.
Yeah, and the Saints playing with a backup quarterback right now who struggled on the road. We'll get to that game as well as others. Up next, though, one of the strangest games I've seen in a long time that involved a playoff caliber football team. We'll talk about the Falcons and the Raiders. It's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Just download the app, stop by any MGM casino on the strip, be sure to have your state-issued ID and open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. With state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week, you're going to love this app. VSiN is also reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions, must be at least 21 years old, and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. And James, I don't know what to make of this game. The Las Vegas Raiders, they are playoff caliber team, it seems, at times, but I cannot explain this one. 43-6 defeat. This one closed Las Vegas -3.5 with a total of 53. Your thoughts?
Well, these are the kind of games. I was leery of this game from the perspective of not only the Raiders look great a week ago, Sunday night, playing against the Chiefs. And yeah, they lost late second to Mahomes, but Mahomes is going to be, he's going to do that to most every team, any team in the league. So you can take away moral victories from their performance in that game. And maybe they took away too many moral victories from that game. Feeling good about themselves offensively, they were able to move the football on the ground, in the air against Kansas City, however they wanted to. And now going on the road, playing a team, playing Atlanta, that's kind of, you know, the season's finished for them. That organization's going through, they're going to be going through major transition come 2021. Were really pushed around against the Saints last weekend, especially offensively. I mean, Matt Ryan was just getting dumped each and every other drop back. He was getting hammered by that Saints front. So easy to see where were the Raiders really going to be contenders, and that's what I wanted to see. Not contenders to go to the Super Bowl, but contenders to make the playoffs in the AFC. These are the kind of games that you've got to go on the road and you've got to win. It doesn't matter whether you win pretty, whether you win ugly, how it happens, but you've got to go on and win these types of games if you're going to be a legitimate playoff team this year. And completely flat effort. We heard that in post-game conference locker rooms, the interviews. Yeah, we didn't come ready to play. That's on me. They're saying all the right things, but you got to. One thing to be accountable and say the right things, but your leadership from a coaching and player personnel perspective has to be. You've got to step up and perform, and then just kind of not really recognizing and understand what the game plan was going in. I thought the Raiders would want to go in there and establish their physicality. Greeden usually does that week in and week out, running the football. Ball with with Josh Jacobs. Their offensive line is finally about as healthy as they've been all season long. And nope, they wanted, let's get out there and sling it around and throw the football around the yard. And Derek Carr never really feels comfortable in there. And then when he does get pressure, he doesn't hang on to the football. When he gets sacked, half the time he's putting the ball on the ground, and now they're putting themselves behind. So from that perspective, was worried about a flat spot. The other piece was what was going to be the game plan. I'm really surprised they didn't try to be physical to get that running game going and kind of continue what happened to the Falcons and continue pushing them around like the Saints did the week before.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that as well. I mean, I actually teased up the Falcons because of the comments and the flat week of practice and things that I heard. I thought the Raiders were holding on to the Chiefs in that game way too long. Like the Chiefs told everybody that the Raiders felt like that was their Super Bowl. And so I was listening to those comments. I'm like, wait a minute, why would the Raiders do that? They still have so many more games to go and a big game, actually the biggest game in a year on the road against the Falcons. But yet they're not treating it that way. And then I thought also Raheem Morris' familiarity right there with Gruden, what he wants to do offensively. And so I teased up the Falcons. I didn't expect this kind of game, though. I mean, this was like, I haven't seen this in a while. I haven't seen this in a long, long time. I mean, when you get dominated like this, 43-6, and yet you are a playoff, you have established yourself as a playoff caliber football team. I don't know where this came from for the Raiders.
Well, I think that's a bit of, there's a little bit of being full of yourself sometimes too, right? You're a little overconfident and feeling like that, oh, well, these are learning lessons. Now, unfortunately, they learned a hard lesson, and that's what's going to put them, put them behind when it comes to the race for the playoffs going forward. They've got five games left. Now, it's a relatively favorable schedule for the Raiders. They have to go take care of business next week against the Jets on the road, but then they've got three straight games, Indy followed by the Chargers and Miami. That Miami game the day after Christmas, December 26th, that one's going to be very interesting because they're going to be jockeying for playoff position there. That one might have playoff implications on the line because if it has to go to that last week, Raiders have to come here to the Mile High City against Denver. And if Denver has the chance to play spoiler, you can believe the Broncos will be ready to play that game.
Yeah, depending on the comments too, I wonder if this line's going to move as the Raiders go on the road again to play the Jets. And that's where it all started for them last year when they went downhill and did not make the playoffs. So we'll keep an eye on that. Up next, I've seen replacement players, replacement referees. Now teams playing without quarterbacks. COVID concerns in the Denver Broncos. This coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, Cyber Monday is the perfect day to sign up for VSiN. New subscribers get 25% off the regular price of an annual all-access membership, plus a $30 credit to the VSiN store. Sign up today, and you'll get our brand new College Hoops Guide, which is overflowing with everything you need for the season, our daily best bet emails, point spread weekly 24/7 video streaming, and the chance to pick up a stylish new VSiN t-shirt, mug, or hat, all for the holidays. Don't miss this deal. Get huge annual savings plus a $30 credit to use on great VSiN gear. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. And James, this COVID situation, it reminded me of what the league wants to do in terms of just have the product get out there, right? And we saw a great example of that. Broncos, Saints, this line was all over the place. It finally closed. New Orleans minus 16.5, total 36.5 as well. Never in doubt in terms of who was going to win this game, whether or not the Saints would cover that big number, but they did. Your thoughts on this game, the thoughts on the situation with the Denver Broncos as well?
Well, I think a couple things. First, the COVID protocols by the NFL have gotten more restrictive, and it's going to continue that way. Obviously, this is a global pandemic, right? So we're having issues across the world. But in the world of the NFL, I think this is really a result of, and we talked about this months ago, about really the NFL's reactiveness when it came to scheduling. They were not proactive. They did not build out any additional, whether it was additional bye weeks, whether it was going to be an additional week after the season or 2 weeks, whatever that might look like, to build in case of a contingency plan when these kind of things arise, like we're seeing right now with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and whether that game is going to even be played and how they're going to play it or when they're going to play it, if it happens at any point later in the season. Who knows? But I think because they were reactive this way, this is why they've really put on heavier protocols. And now we talked about this too a number of weeks here in Denver when we talked about kind of the communication disconnect between the coaching staff and the players. And it's really, to me, it's a generational thing. I mean, this is what we're dealing with when you're talking about multi-generational gaps between where Fangio is and how his communication style is with his young players, because there's a lot of young players. And let's start with the quarterback position right there with Drew Locke. Anytime you're the quarterback and you're the franchise player, you are essentially the leader of that offense. And in a sense, they're hoping that you'll be the leader of the ball club too. Well, he didn't take to heart, obviously, the protocols that were put in place by the NFL. They're all saying the right things now after the fact. Locke saying, it's my fault. I should have been more, I should have took it more seriously. The coach Fangio saying, well, we emphasized it, but maybe I needed to reemphasize it again. They're all trying to be accountable to point fingers at themselves as to their conduct. But ultimately, the NFL came down hard and used Denver as really an example of, look, if you don't follow these protocols to the T, this is what's going to happen. We're not going to move games around. You are going to be forced to play with whatever players you have. Now, this is kind of where it's going to be at for teams going forward. So we'll see if hopefully other teams learn from what Denver did internally that really cost them what happened personnel-wise in that game yesterday.
Right. The Broncos self-reported. They turned in the tape, the video of the quarterbacks not wearing masks and not following enhanced protocols. Here's Vic Fangio. I was disappointed on a couple of levels in that our quarterbacks put us in this position, meaning they had to go with a practice squad wide receiver who played quarterback in college. So Vic Fangio calling out the quarterbacks. They're supposed to be leaders. We count on them to be leaders of the offense, and they make this mistake. So two questions for you, James. The Vic Fangio comments, and okay, how will the team receive those? And then also, you said franchise quarterback. Has Drew Locke earned the right to be called a franchise quarterback right now?
Well, I don't think that. I think after seeing what happens when you don't have a quarterback, maybe there'll be a little more value to what they do have under center with Drew Locke. But from the leadership perspective, that's the hard part. You can make the throws, you can have the talent, but if you don't have that type of persona about you that can be a leader of men, and it starts with you being your performance on the field, obviously, but then being accountable. I think Drew Locke's trying to be accountable, but he's saying it, but his actions don't reflect that, and that's what cost them really where they were going. And yeah, they did self-report there. And again, I think there's just this communication disconnect with that coaching staff with these young players. But the other part then too is, all right, very disappointed with how kind of the Broncos put their young quarterback and the rest of their offense in the position. They didn't try to do anything, in my mind, to help them succeed. I mean, late in that first half, it was a 7-0 game. And it was about 2 minutes to go. Lindsey's back there. It's third and one around midfield. Lindsey's back there. Now, to me, this is the coaching piece that needs to come into it, preparing for the moment to where, look, it was a bad snap. Now, the coaches can't snap the football. It was a bad snap. But Lindsey's got to be aware. So part of this is going to be on our boy, Phillip, and the other part's got to be on the coaching staff to look, if anything comes up, anything happens, you get if the bear's a bad snap, we get an exchange, whatever that looks like, just fall on the football. And instead, Lindsey, it's a bad snap. He tries to pick it up, can't pick the ball up. He gets hit. Ball gets kicked around. New Orleans runs it down. Now it's 14-0. And now it's kind of the game is lost at that point. And then to finish out the half, instead of just running the clock out to regroup, Pritch, they throw another pass. You're talking about your wide receiver under center. He's having a roll out. They're throwing a pass with about 20 seconds left in the half. That ball gets intercepted, leads to a field goal as time expires to now go up 17-0. So all the work that you did to keep you within a one-score game is all gone, really, to my mind, because of that coaching staff didn't prepare the Broncos for those situations.
James, I want to get to the 49ers because they're going to play the next two games in Arizona. How will that impact them going forward? Because of the enhanced protocols up there in their county, they're not going to be home for a while.
Yeah, well, I think it's they're gonna have to deal with it just like everybody else adapts to all these situations, whether you're playing the NFL or just living daily life, right? So I think from that standpoint, I think the 49ers have been trying to find things to galvanize themselves, all the injuries that they had early in the season, and that was definitely adversity and challenging from that standpoint. But it's a very well-coached team, and there's plenty of leadership on that team. So I think from this standpoint, from a health standpoint, it might be better for them to get out of there for a few weeks, go and live your – you know, they're going to go practice and play in themselves in a bubble. We saw how that was with the NBA and the NHL. Now, over the course of months, I think that took its toll on a number of players in the NBA. But in this case, for the 49ers, this is short-term. It's just going to be a handful of weeks. This might be a really good time for them to continue galvanizing themselves. It's us against the world when it comes to the NFL world, and I think we're going to continue to see San Francisco because of that coaching staff and that leadership. Now this is going to continue to keep them even tighter. I think we're going to see much better performances. They played very well yesterday against the Rams, and I think that's going to continue.
Yeah, they're creating their own bubble, and you're right. I mean, that coaching staff is top-notch. Just in a Super Bowl not too long ago. Keeping an eye on that. Up next, if you're a team in this division, how do you get swept and still call yourselves a favorite, or the betting odds or have you as a favorite? That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when they place a $1 wager on the Seahawks or Eagles to score a touchdown. Sign up and use bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this offer. Get ready for showtime. Download the app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Seahawks or Eagles to score a touchdown. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. In Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER. In New Jersey and West Virginia and Tennessee, call or text a red line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. And James, because of the COVID news, I mean, it is fluid, as fluid can be here. Adam Schefter with a tweet about the Ravens game as they face Pittsburgh on Tuesday. Hopefully, here's a tweet. Ravens players still have not been given any guidance on when or if the team will be leaving for Pittsburgh, per sources. Chances of postponement for Tuesday night's game now increasing by the hour. What do you make of that tweet right there from Adam Schefter?
Well, obviously this is being reactive. They're not. I really can't believe that they would play this game. I mean, it's almost 4 o'clock Eastern time out in Baltimore. When are they going to leave? Are they going to take a red eye tonight and go play football tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's all about adaptability, but I think at this point, if you don't even know when you're going to leave to try to play a game within roughly 24 hours, to me, it doesn't seem realistic that that game's going to happen.
Oh, okay. So, let's pull back the curtain, because last week we talked about this a little bit. This is a league in which they know that their product just needs to be on TV. They don't care if it's a good product or not. We just witnessed that Saints Broncos, right? It's more about the bigger picture. You know, do they want to implement this contingency plan and get to 8 playoff teams per side? I don't know if they want to do that yet. Do they have enough weeks to move this game? I don't know. If the NFL had their way, James, I think they would want to proceed with this game tomorrow night.
I think you're right. I think they do. Because then it's going to come down to if they don't, now it's, well, see, you should have been more proactive when it came to your options for scheduling when these kind of things happen. No contingency plan. What are you going to do now? And it's still just trying to force this. And it just feels like that's where it's at now. They're going to continue to try to force these games. Well, what impact is it going to have not only on the teams that they're forcing it onto with Pittsburgh and Baltimore right now, but then the other games that are going to follow the following week? They've already had to move Dallas and Baltimore. I think that's scheduled tentatively. Everything's tentative now for next Monday. That was supposed to be this Thursday. So it's going to have this trickle-down effect with all these other teams from other schedules. So in my mind, I don't know why they didn't or shouldn't, why they couldn't still build out another week. I know there's a gap. There's that two-week gap between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. I don't know why we couldn't move the Super Bowl. I mean, the NBA was playing the NBA Finals in September. Mm-hmm. So, and same with NHL, their Stanley Cup was in September. If they're doing that, why couldn't the NFL build some contingency weeks even now and start thinking more proactively? I think this is going to have a big impact on not only this game, but plenty of games going forward. We still have 5 weeks left in the season, Pritch.
Yeah, definite ripple effect here. Big time. You think about the Saints Broncos, and I just want to let everybody know here, the Saints were either en route or already in Denver. So a lot of people wanted to postpone that game. But how do you postpone that game if the Saints are already on the charter traveling to Denver, or in fact already in Denver? I mean, what do you do then? So there again, another indication of the league just trying to plow through and play these games.
Well, so good. I don't know. I think from a competitive standpoint, Pritch, I mean, that's where I think teams are going to start to get upset. Franchises are going to start to get upset because they're having, hey, this didn't happen to our ball club, but now we're having to shuffle things around because of other teams didn't want to, say for Denver, didn't want to follow the protocols. And yeah, we're going to play this game. So there's the message sent to the other teams in the league, but this is still going to continue. We've got 5 weeks. This is going to be a long 5 weeks to try to get through this unscathed. I just can't see it happening for the
NFL
at this point.
5 weeks with spikes. It's incredible. 49ers, they beat the Rams. This one closed LA -5.5, that total 45. I mentioned before that the 49ers have swept the Rams now. They're going to self-isolate. They're going to be in their own bubble. You talked about galvanizing and certainly coming together as a team with a well-coached coaching staff there. What about the Rams, though? The Rams and Goff. Goff has turned the ball over way too many times and is really starting to hurt the football team right now.
Well, I think that's what we see when they're, here's another team. We saw it 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, or Monday night, actually. It was a week. It was a long week, Pritch. anyway, when they played, the Rams went down and played Tampa last Monday night. This script, they kept this script. The game went according to form. So it was a lot of quick throws. We know what the Rams are going to do. And most teams should. I mean, we see it. We're watching these games just as sports bettors and as football fans. We see it week in and week out, and we know what they're running those stretches, and then they're going to run Goff out and quick boots and quick throws. He's not going to have to sit back in the pocket a long time. And we know that against San Francisco. They know that. They see him twice a year. The biggest thing is to stay disciplined, number one, on those edges and don't sweep down the line. And so San Francisco's prepared for that. They know that. They're going to get pressure on Goff consistently. And I think that's where, especially with Goff, we've seen it for a number of years. This is what happens. Anytime he gets pressure, especially up in his face, he's going to struggle with that pressure. He's going to make bad decisions. He definitely did yesterday, put the ball on the ground, threw the football to the wrong team. He does that consistently, especially against the 49ers. Coach Shanahan knows that. Saleh knows that. They have their number, and they execute it to really precision yesterday. Mm-hmm. That was a great game. I was definitely on the San Francisco side with that one. So it went according to form. Those are fun games to watch when you see that the game plan is actually with the way that you think it's going to go is actually how that plays out.
Right. Jared Goff with 10 turnovers in 4 games here for the Rams. That's costly right there because they're battling in that highly competitive NFC West. We'll find out about Seattle. We'll also talk about Seattle a little bit later on in the program. Seattle -176 in terms of winning the odds here. The Rams at +180. What do you do there now with the Rams? I mean, kind of exposing themselves offensively. Still time to correct things. Still time for Jared Goff to play better and not turn the ball over with that defense in particular.
Well, but the Rams have lost a couple of defenders. They lost their starting strong safety. He was one of their leading tacklers. He's gone for the season, as well as their one of their linebackers who was their leading tackler. He's gone for the season. So we kind of talked about that earlier this week. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, that you're plugging in two very young players. One is a rookie at strong safety, but it's. Yeah, they're talented, but they're coming in very inexperienced, and I think a lot of times that's going to hurt from a discipline standpoint and a technique standpoint, because they're going to be so eager to make plays that they get out of their technique and their discipline. And we did see that against San Francisco yesterday. Those are going to be big pieces for the Rams to fill, as well as that offensive line did not look good yesterday. They did lose Whitworth at left tackle, not only from a playmaking standpoint, just his stability as a leader on that offensive line. That was a key loss too. So sometimes these not the skill positions. We talk a lot about receivers and quarterbacks. They get all the notoriety, but when you start losing some of these other key players that you don't see in the box score and you don't find in the stat sheet, it's a big drop off from those starters to those secondary players. And I think that's going to be an impact on the Rams going forward too.
James, let's get to the AFC East, because the Miami Dolphins are now 7-4. We saw Fitzpatrick. They take care of business over the Jets. They closed -7.5. That total was 46. The Dolphins, they shouldn't mess around, right? They should just name or rename Fitzpatrick as a starter and proceed that way throughout the remaining portion of the season, correct?
Well, I guess it's, are you looking to develop? Are you playing for 2021? Or are you playing for 2020 to try to win? I think for the Dolphins, yeah, you're trying to win now. You're actually 7-4. You have, if it ended today, you'd be in the playoffs, right? So, or mm-hmm. You're contending there for the next 5 weeks. So you're right in the mix of it. I think right now you have to go with the veteran quarterback, because we look at their schedule. They're playing the Bengals next week. Now, the Bengals are that's a complete rebuild, and they're very banged up. No more Burrow there at the quarterback position. So outside of that game against Cincinnati next week, this followed with four very challenging games. They're going to play successive games at home, Kansas City, then New England, and then finish up on the road. They're in Vegas, Pritch, against the Raiders, and then at Buffalo to end the season. That might come down. That's going to be another intriguing game. That's a gauntlet of a schedule come those last 4 weeks for Miami. So if you're going to try to sustain and try to compete and get one of those playoff spots, in my mind, yeah, you got to go with the veteran.
They're plus 79 in point differential. The Miami Dolphins, I mean, the Bills are plus 17, which is incredible. But, I mean, look, more competitive games or defensive effort there for Miami. I just don't think they should mess around with the quarterback position, the key position right there. What about the Jets down to plus 140 now to go winless?
Right. Well, I don't want to. I've been getting stung the last. Actually, I covered them last week against the Chargers. I did take them yesterday too, plus the 7. That one didn't work out well. Adam Gase. Well, great. You're come back to calling plays again. He's still stuck in the 70s, thinking again. I feel like I have this conversation with you each and every week, Pritch. When you want to run play action, don't you kind of have to establish a running threat first?
That would help.
I know, and they're still running. Darnold's back now, and they're still having Darnold turn his back to the defense, trying to look like and give the impression that they're going to run the football. And we saw the Dolphins could care less. Those play-action passes did not have any impact on slowing down that rush. They were bringing it all day. They were in Darnold's face. I mean, you kind of feel bad for Darnold. Yeah, he makes bad decisions, but how much of that is really on that coaching staff putting him in very poor positions to where he's forced to have to make throws and make bad decisions? So much of that still lies on that coaching staff and Adam Gase.
Yeah, I find it fascinating that everybody in the National Football League is losing their job except Adam Gase. that is fascinating to me right now. He will lose his job, though. Up next in hour number two, we were going to get to the Giants and also the Bengals. They're stellar ATS this year. So all that and more right now, coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.